Last week, I preached a message from John chapter 12 entitled, "We Are Called to Serve, Not Sit." And church, just in case you'd forgotten during this week's time, God called us to serve, not sit. Amen? In this message, I showed that the reason people who call themselves Christians are not serving is because they're divided. People don't serve God because they are mentally divided, physically divided, spiritually divided. Some are monetarily divided. And some don't serve God because they're just plain out divided by laziness. Just plain out laziness. I told you there were other divisions as well. There could be hundreds, if not thousands, of divisions that people cause or create that prohibits them from serving God. The plain truth is all divisions are self-imposed and can effectively be removed if we will put our faith and trust in God and God alone. Now, we learned that we're all most definitely doing one of two things, as Scripture states. We're either gathering people to the Lord through our service, or we're scattering due to our not serving. My question to you today is, where do you start? Where in the world do you start? If you realize right now today, if today is the day of your reckoning, and you realize, okay, Pastor Kyle, you've got me, I'm guilty, I'm not serving God the way I ought to serve God, what do you do? Where do you go from there? I mean, you're a blood-bought child of the King. According to Romans 10:9, you've accepted Christ. You've professed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and according to Scripture, you are saved. Now, what do you do? Brother Kyle, I'm not serving. What do I do? Well, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This ought to be a very familiar chapter to you. Very familiar Scripture. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "If I speak the languages of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so that I can move mountains, but I do not have," what's that word? "Love, I am nothing. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but I do not have, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited. It does not act inappropriately, improperly. It is not selfish. It's not provoked, does not keep records of wrongs." Do you hear that, Amy? Love does not keep records of wrongs. "Finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." Listen, y'all underline verse 8, the start of verse 8, because I'm going to hit this hard here in a couple seconds. Love never ends. Never ends. Love never ends. "But as for prophecies, they'll come to an end. As for languages, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, and the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man," a lot of people think they're men, don't they? Don't they? "When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we have indistinctly, as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, as I am fully known. Now, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Because the greatest of these is love." Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd still our hearts, open our minds. Lord, we came here this morning to get a word from you, to be fed by you. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, because I'm nothing. I'm nothing but a man. My righteousness to you is like filthy rags. There's nothing righteous within me. And Lord, I profess that. You already know it. So Lord, I pray that the people that you've set before me, God, will see you and not me. They'd hear from you and not me. They'd feel your presence and not see my presence. Lord, at the end of this message, they'll say it was good to be in the house of God because I heard from God and not from my preacher. My preacher was just used as a vehicle. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to feel your presence and feel your spirit. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, right now, before I go any further in this message, I'm going to warn you that I'm going to be talking about some things that are sensitive in nature. They are very sensitive in nature. Do not turn me off, because everything that I'm going to say applies to the scripture I just read. All of it. It's things that we need to hear. And listen, I like I tell you so often, who had to hear it first? Me. As I was preparing this message, I had to hear it first. I had to digest it first. It had to affect me first. So, first thing I want to say is this. What does this love thing that we just saw in the great love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what does this love thing really mean to me as a Christian? What is it that it should mean to me? Well, let's read verse 1 again, verse 1 through 8 again, really. Verse 1 through 8 again. It says, if we speak the languages of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love endures. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act inappropriately, is not selfish, is not provoked, does not keep a record of wrongs. Amy? I know. Finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, y'all say it with me, never fails. It never fails. It never ends. Now, verse 8a tells me that love never ends. Never ends. Y'all think about that for a second. Love never ends. Do you know what that means? Death doesn't stop love. It doesn't. Death doesn't stop love. Do y'all realize Mr. Tom just died? Miss Edie still loves him. Where's Miss Edie? Miss Edie, you still love Mr. Tom, don't you? When we buried him up in the National Cemetery, did your love stop right then? Absolutely not. It never ends. It never will end. Now, she's been a widow for a couple weeks now, but I mean, I know we have long-standing widows. Miss Susan, Brother Eddie's been gone for, golly, what, 15, 20 years now? Now, has your love for him stopped? I mean, you still wake up and you still have the same love you had when he was still, the last day you spoke to him, don't you? Love never ends. I mean, I could give you example after example after example. I want you to understand this scripture is true. It is so true. Hey, listen. Let's take it a step further. When we understand that this love never ends, we also understand that it's not just death, but how many of y'all have ever done something that's not real smart? We've had stupid actions. Mary Beth is trying to raise Bob's hand. Bob, that's terrible. We've all done something that's not real smart. When you love somebody, you get over it, right? It takes some of us a long time at times, but we get over it, right? Yeah, we do. Listen, love never ends. When there's a sickness or a disability, you don't give up on that person, do you? No. Mike May, are you ready to give up? Lisa, you still love Lisa, right? Absolutely. We're not giving up, right? Amen. Love, church, love never ends. Now, we can all agree right now at this point that love, real love, never ends. Can I get an amen? Okay, now we can move forward. Step two. That was step one. Step two. Now that we all agree that love never ends, Next, we need to understand that love that never ends has a beginning. Y'all with me? If there is never ending, we have to realize that there was sometime in the past a beginning. We see that once love is allowed, now we need to remember that word. Once love is allowed, there is no end. But where does love begin? Love begins at the point in time in which we allow love to begin. Let me say that again, because that's kind of complicated, isn't it? Love begins when we allow love to begin. Now, I've told some of y'all this story. This is special. This is a special story. I was dating Amy for about a month. And y'all, listen, y'all can look at me and look at her and tell, I mean, I outpunted my coverage. I know, I did. I know. But we'd been dating for about a month. And you know how guys are. You know, we ain't going to tell nobody we love them. Uh-uh. Bob, I had just cooked her a meal, and we were standing in my parents' kitchen, and, you know, she had just tried to give me a kiss, and it's terrible, guy. And you know what happened before I realized it had happened? You know what I had done? And it came out, and it was in here, but I wasn't going to tell nobody. You know what happened, Michael? You know what happened? I said, I love, what? I mean, this is only a month. You ain't supposed to tell girls you love them after a month, right? No. But I did. That's right. It came out. And from that point in time on, I mean, it was a natural occurrence for me to tell the woman that I loved after a month that I loved her. And look, when I said it, she was shocked. She was like, well, I love you too. I thought she was going to say, I guess, you know, but she said, I love you too. You see, our love, I hope that y'all can see the love that we have for one another. It had a beginning. Now, Scripture says true love never, never ends, but it does have a beginning. I'll never forget in all my life, here in a few days, my little girl is going to be 23 years old. I'll never in my life forget when that little girl was born. First child, and I held that little girl in my hands, and I was just like, you know, guys, when you have a daughter, your mindset towards women changes. And if it doesn't, it should. Because every woman is somebody's little girl. Right? When I held that little girl in my hands, I was in love. I mean, from the very beginning, I was in love. It had a beginning. Now, I mean, I started to love her as I, you know, held my, you know, put my hand on my wife's stomach and I could feel the baby moving. I mean, I started, I'll probably love this kid, you know. But when I saw her, that's when the love began. I loved her and I still love her. She's got daddy wrapped. I can beat the boys until blood shows. Anna, yeah, Aunt got an amen on the front row. That's a rarity, but it's hard with the girl. I mean, it really is. Have to. Church, I've told y'all in times past when I came here, I was a little hurt for my last church, and I had already determined, I'm gonna put up some barriers, and I'm not gonna let this church in the way I let my last church in. I'm not gonna let them get as close to me. I'm going to, you know, keep my distance. Oh, I was here for about a day before all those barriers dropped. You know, I had set guidelines. I had a line drawn in the sand. And I started loving you from that period till today. That is a love that's never going to end. But it does have a beginning. Now that we see step one and step two, let's see step three. Step three, we need to understand who it is that Scripture is telling us to love. We don't have a problem, church, loving people we already love. I don't have a problem loving Amy, overlooking her, you know, her, all her problems and you know, her ridicule. And I don't have a problem, you know, I'll just stop right there. Bob's shaking his head. Just stop. So I don't, you know, she doesn't have a problem overlooking all my problems. We love each other. Amen? Now, as we look at this scripture today, we do need to understand something. We have a problem loving some people. Because, church, it shouldn't be that way, because we're called not to just love people, but to love all people. All people. All. A-L-L. All people. Now that we've talked about the easy part of this message, let's move on to the hard parts. Pay attention. Don't shut me off, okay? Who is it that we have a hard time loving? Who is it that we have a hard time loving? Now, Scripture tells us, Glenn, we're supposed to love everybody. All, A-L-L. Who is it that we have a hard time loving? You see, if we don't love people, we can't serve God. You can't do it. Do you know who a lot of times we have the hardest problem loving? I heard somebody say it. Ourselves. We have this stigma, not necessarily of other people, but ourselves. We have a hard time loving ourselves. If we cannot forgive ourselves, you cannot love others the way you ought to. Now, I want to tell you something. I've done some bad things. Shocking, isn't it? You have done some bad things. We know. We all know. Scripture says if a man says he's without sin, he is a liar. That's exactly right. And I think lying is a sin, right? Yeah, see. I've done some bad things that I am not proud of. God knows. God knows. God knows what you've done. He knows. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Ryan, if you waterboarded me, I ain't telling it. If you try to torture me, I'm not going to tell. I mean, it's going to go to the grave with me and God. Now, y'all rest easy. None of this is, you know, current. I mean, it wasn't yesterday or anything like that. I mean, this was before I got saved. Church, we have to love ourselves. We have to understand that God forgave us. Do you realize that God forgave a murderer? David? He forgave him. Now, he wasn't called to serve the way he wanted to serve, but God forgave him, and he was still used to serve. David had to forgive himself. I don't know what you've done. Honestly, listen to me. I don't want you to come confess it, because it's not my job to forgive you of your sins. Scripture says man is to come to one, and that's to Jesus Christ. You don't come to me and ask me for forgiveness. I can't forgive you. God can forgive you, but you've got to forgive yourself after God forgives you. If you are ever going to effectively serve God, you've got to forgive yourself, because God already has. Right? Move forward. Well, there's somebody else that you have a hard time. We have a hard time loving. We have a hard time loving people, listen to this, who are not like us. Well, they're not like us. So, Scripture says you're to love all people. Mark, all people. Well, they're not like us. So, get over it. You're not like them. Amen? Who are these people? Well, you know, listen, I can't serve these people because they're a different social class than I am. You know, they haven't met the standards that I... You need to get over yourself. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you a little secret. You better get over yourself real quick, because God has this way of knocking your feet out from under you and leveling the playing field when you least expect it. Well, you know, I have so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, yeah, when Jesus came to the earth, he owned it all. He has a way of, you know, negating that social status. We need to get past that. Well, you know, Brother Kyle, they don't look like us, and they don't act like the social status. Well, you know, they're different income levels, and hey, listen, they look totally different from us. They're different races. I want to tell y'all a little secret. I am so sick and tired of weekly hearing about race relations. We need to invite the United States government to a church service at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Do we not? Do we not? I am so sick and tired. Just this past week, we have some celebrities. I'm not going to the Oscars or whatever it was. Is it Oscars? Oscar, because you know so and so, there wasn't anybody from my race nominated. I don't get it. Listen, we've got to get past this. Do you know that we all, every single one of us, look different in the mirror? And I'm not just talking about color. We all look different in the mirror. Some of us are pretty. Some of us are ugly. Some of us are skinny. Some of us aren't so skinny. Some of us are fluffy. Some of us are white. Some of us are black. Some of us are red. Some of us are yellow. But when you cut the skin, it's all the same color. And I've said this before, but I've got to say it again. Listen, if you want to go to heaven, and I think everybody wants to go to heaven in here, or they'll say they want to go to heaven. When you get to heaven, if you think there's going to be a white heaven or a black heaven or a red heaven or a yellow heaven, listen, that's not going to happen. It's heaven. If you can't get along with each other here, you're not going to like heaven. You're not. You're going to be standing with every nation, every language, every tongue, glorifying the righteous Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get over yourself. Well, there's somebody else that we have a hard time loving. We have a hard time loving people who have done us wrong, don't we? Well, they've done me wrong. I don't have to love them. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes. Why are you arguing with me? Scripture says you have to love them. Especially if they've done something wrong to you. You have to love them. Why? Because the love of God's in you. You can't hate. Well, wait a second. You can't hate one. I'll get to that here in a second. But even people who do you wrong, let there be no doubt, church. Let there be no doubt that we have to love others before we can effectively serve God. Now, how can we know that we love people? How can we know, Ricky, that we've gotten past all these obstacles and we really are loving people the way we ought to be loving them? Now, I'm going to give you an equation, and this is pretty easy, so y'all hold on with me. This is entitled Proof of Your Love. How can you prove to yourself that you're loving others the way you ought to? Have you really ever thought about how you know that you love somebody? I mean... we're pretty quick to tell somebody that we love them. But how can you really, really know that you do? Better yet, how can the other people know that you truly love them? There's a way to know. Y'all ready? You ready? Do you really want to understand the depths of 1 Corinthians 13? You with me? Everybody awake? Well, here we go. When you really love somebody, you find yourself thinking about them several times a day and very random times. It's true. I remember this. See, Amy and I didn't go to the same school. She went to Northwestern High School. I went to the Catawba School Academy. Yeah. She said a bunch of rich kids. But we didn't go to the same school. And my best friend in high school, he got so sick and tired of me saying, I wonder what Amy's doing. Wonder what she's up to. Wonder if she's eating lunch. I miss her. I mean, he'd say, shut up. Shut up. I mean, really and truly, he probably knew that I loved her before I knew I loved her. And before I told her that I loved her. Well, why? Because, I mean, certain times, I mean, I was always thinking about this part, random times. Random times. Well, it gets better. Listen, you find yourself thinking about them, but you find yourself praying for them. Y'all remember? You find yourself praying for them. And when you've never in your life felt compelled to pray for them, but now you do. You're praying for them. I didn't have any feelings towards this person, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking about them, and now when I'm praying, I'm praying for them. But listen, it gets better. You start to notice when the person that you're praying for, you start to notice when they're happy, when they're full of joy or when they're sad and something may be bothering them. When you know that you're starting to love them is when you ask, what's going on? I noticed something's bothering you. Do you know why you noticed something was wrong? Because you care. You love them. You love them. And if you can do anything to help, you will. Do you know why? Because you love them. Something happened. There was a beginning. Wade, there was a beginning. Love never ends, but there has to be a beginning. Listen, you really know that you love someone when you see that person hurting, and guess what happens? You hurt too. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's been times when I've gone to the hospital and I've walked into the room and I actually had to take a class in school, pastoral studies, and it addressed how to conduct yourself when you enter certain environments within the ministry. You kind of prepare yourself to see the worst. Because a lot of times you walk in those rooms and you see people that you love that are hurting and they don't need to see you crying. But church, when you start feeling the hurt that they're hurting and you walk out those doors and tears flow down your eyes, hey, listen, do you know what that means? That you love them. You do. Amy and I went on a visit not too long ago. And we walked in the room and we visited with the family. And when we walked out the door, she was quiet. And I looked over at her and she said that it was all I could do not just to burst out into tears when I walked in that room. Do you know why? Because she loves them. She loves them. We were driving down the road the other day, and I said, you want to let's go visit so-and-so? She said, I can't. And I said, why? She said, because I know all I'll do is cry. All I'll do is just sit there and cry. You go. Why? Because she loves them. Her heart hurts when their hearts hurt. Listen, she has joy in her heart when they have joy in their heart. That's called love. And that kind of love, Mr. Holman, never, ever, ever, ever ends. Church, the scripture I read this morning tells us a lot about love and serving God. If we're not doing anything for God, but yet not loving people, if we're doing anything for God, but yet not loving people, listen to me, if we're doing anything for God, yet not loving people, our efforts are for nothing. Nothing. Gotta love them. It doesn't matter what gift it is that God has gifted us with to serve Him on this earth. If we are not loving the people, our gifts are for nothing. Nothing. They're wasted. We can give all. We can give all we have to the poor, to the point that we ourselves are poor. Yet if we do not love others, it's all for nothing. Look at verse 4 again. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly. It is not selfish, is not provoked, does not keep a record of wrongs, find no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You know what this scripture means? We're to love everyone, no exceptions. Everyone, no exceptions. The only person we are scripturally allowed to hate is who? Satan. You can hate him all day long. He's the only one. Church, when we love as Christ loves us, people are drawn, not because of us, but the love that is within us, and that's Jesus. There's got to be a beginning. Verse 8 tells us that love never ends. This is Scripture, and it's true. when you love someone that you have never-ending love for, but it does have a starting point. This morning, church, will you today profess to God that for the rest of your life, you will love every person you encounter? That that person may be drawn to the Savior. Will you do that this morning? Love, true love, never ends. But it's got to start somewhere. If you really want to serve God the way God intended for you to serve Him, you've got to love every person that you encounter. Some of us have problems with that. Do you need to come down this morning and pray? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The altar is open. Lord Jesus, we love You. We praise You. Lord, we thank You for Your Scripture. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it was recorded not only for those that You were standing amongst, but it was recorded that we might understand what You'd have us to do in a greater way. Lord, You've called us all from the tops of our heads to the tips of our shoes to serve You, to be on ministry, missionaries for You in a daily walk with You. Lord, when we walk out these doors here shortly, we're walking into our mission fields, the one that You gave us. Lord, let us not be hindered by our lack of love for others. Let Your Spirit move right now because of Your Word, not because of me. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, you need to come this morning. The altar's open.